John chapter 8, continuing our series. As we're turning there, let's have a quick word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank You for this day and this opportunity to open Thy Word. And Lord, we ask the Spirit of God would prepare each and every heart. We'd be receptive to the things of God and to the Word of God, and that we all would allow the Spirit of God to work and to accomplish His perfect will. And we'll be careful to give You the thanks and the glory for it all. It's for in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 8 and verse 30, Jesus has a discourse with the Pharisees, and as He discoursed this, in verse 30 it says, "And He spake these words, and many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed." In verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered in verse 33, He says, "Well, we've never been in bondage." And the purpose of this series is that you and I can be set free. We can be set free maybe in certain cases that we are in bondage to a sin, or a sin has us captivated. Or it could be just our thoughts and our feelings that we've been taught and trained all of our lives. Could be several of those things or any of those things, but being set free from those things that control us. And Jesus said His Word is that which sets us free. It's the truth of His Word. It doesn't matter, as we've said, many Christians live their lives by their feelings. That's why many Christians are up and down, and they're happy today and they're sad tomorrow, and they have victory today and they have no victory tomorrow. And you cannot live your life by your feelings. And if you do, you're held bondage to those feelings, and that's kind of the roller coaster life that so many Christians live. But Jesus told those who believed on Him, His Word will set you free. And we looked last week, there's three areas of being set free. And number one is that we have to understand our position in Christ. And we looked at that the last couple of weeks. Our position in Christ is that I'm saved. If you're saved and born again, you're in Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 6 says that we're already seated in heavenly places. We've been freed from sin. We've been quickened. We've been made alive. Ephesians chapter 2. And therefore, we are secure in Christ. The real you, the real me, spiritually speaking, is already in heavenly places. But we don't think that. We don't often act like that. And it's not because of anything we've done. It's all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But there again, you say, "Well, I just don't feel like that." It doesn't matter what you feel. It's the truth of the Word of God. And our position is that we're in Christ. You know, there's a thing called standing and state. My standing never changes. If you're married today, you are married to your spouse. You may have an argument. You may not be on speaking terms. But you're still married. That doesn't change. And our standing in Christ, the Bible says that I'm in Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places. It doesn't matter how I feel today. Or when the devil comes along and says, "You did that, boy, you can't be one of God's child." Yeah, I guess I can't. That never changes. My state changes. My state can change moment to moment, day by day, hour by hour. But it still doesn't change the fact of who I am and where I am. And we looked at that last week. The second aspect of this that we'll look at today, or start today, is who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. And I've said this before, if you read Paul's epistles. Now, Ephesians 2, keep your finger, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, because we may get there today. But Ephesians chapter 2, who we are in Christ. I know what my position is. I'm in Christ because of salvation, because of what He's done. I'm seated in heavenly places. And again, it doesn't matter if I feel like it or not. It doesn't change the fact. Just like salvation, we all know that we're eternally secure. Sometimes we don't feel like that, but it doesn't change the fact. Because I'm just choosing to believe His Word versus my feelings. But Ephesians 2, verse 1, we looked at this last week. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And He talks about where in time past, verse 2, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of the air, the spirit that now works in children of disobedience. And then, but verse 4, He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our position, now we're going to look at who we are. Who are we in Christ? Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. All through Paul's epistles, Romans chapter 1, verse 7, it says, called to be, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Philippians 1, verse 1. Colossians 1, verse 2. Paul addresses the church and the individuals as saints. Remember our series we did last time, the prior series. How we think. Now, the word saint means this. It means chaste, clean, pure, blameless. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He put away our sin. We've been forgiven. So in God's eyes, we are blameless. We're without sin now. The penalty of sin. It means consecrated. It means God's chosen. You see, our problem is we look at ourselves differently than God looks at us. God looks at us as a completed work, even though we're a work in progress. But Paul doesn't say, and to the sinners at Rome, he addresses you that are saved as saints. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you'll still not sin and fall. But He addresses us as saints. You see, as I said, you and I may not feel or act like saints all the time, but we're called by saints of God by God. Saints do sin. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, we act and think the way we see ourselves. We walk around, woe is me. And yeah, we're going to fall, and yes, we're going to sin. And thank God, 1 John 1:9, God forgives us of our sin. And God puts our sin as far as the east is from the west. God forgets it. You ever get into that mode where you keep confessing your sin over and over and over and over? God says, enough already. You see, the reason why we do that is because we don't believe His Word. He said, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is we don't believe the Word. If we believe that, we'd confess it. But if we have a heart of repentance, it'd be done. In God's eyes, it's already done. God says, enough already. But see, the devil uses that false guilt and all those things just to beat us up. And we walk around, oh, God could never use me or whatever. All those things. Sanctification. The Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, has set us apart. That's what sanctification is talking about. As I said, we were already seated in heavenly places. We're clothed in His righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. John 1, verse 12 says that we're a son of God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're talking about this second truth. We've looked at our position. Now we're looking at who we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These are all familiar verses. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who we are in Christ. We're a new creature. We're a new creation. That's what the Bible says. You may not think that, but there again, it's that feeling. It doesn't matter what I feel, it's what God said. Not only that, Ephesians 1, verse 6, we've been accepted in the Beloved. As we talked about last week, there's nothing you or I can do to earn God's favor. We do that, though. You see, we're saved by grace, and then we live our life by performance. I'm going to pray more because I've got this need I have, or this illness comes upon me, so I'm going to pray more. And then Lord, you know, for a whole week, I prayed 15 minutes, maybe an extra 10 minutes. I read your Bible, Lord, and we use that thinking that God is going to say, okay, yeah, you did read your Bible this week a little more, so I think I'll answer that prayer. And we live our whole lives by performance. When in fact, God says that we've already been accepted in the blood. Now, we ought to do those things, but not to earn God's favor. We've already been accepted. This thing of being in Christ was a spiritual transformation. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're talking about who we are in Christ. We're a new creation. We're called a saint of God, a son of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. You see, at the moment of salvation, there was a thing that took place. There was a spiritual transformation that took place. And we were placed into Christ. And Christ into us. But verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him. You need to underline that if you have it. It says, ye are complete in Him. As we look at some things as the weeks progress, we have everything. God has equipped us right now to carry forth all that God wants us to do. Every victory, Every victory over every sin, over every trial, we're already complete. It's already in us. God did a wonderful job at the moment of salvation. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised. Circumcision means the cutting away. With the circumcision made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know what? When Christ arose from the dead, He got the victory. And in those days when a country would conquer another country or whatever, they would. It says they made a show of them openly. They'd come back through the town and celebrating the conquest and all that they took from the other country. And you know what Christ says? I openly triumph. You see, who we are in Christ, we're a new creation. We're accepted by the Beloved. This was a spiritual circumcision. It was a spiritual operation that God did. Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The moment you and I got saved, God started a work. God placed in us everything necessary to be victorious. God doesn't want any of us not to be victorious. If you're not having victory today in your life and maybe an area of your life, God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to be victorious. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have victory. God wants you to have peace. The only reason you don't have is because you choose not to. Because you've not chosen to give it to God. And you may have to give it to God 100 times a day. But you know what? That 101st time, God starts to give you the victory. We're complete in Him. God just didn't save us and say, okay, fend for yourself. You're in this old wicked world. Just do whatever you got to do to get by. God didn't do that. He gave us everything necessary. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13, Paul says this. As soon as I get there. Verse 12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Paul's not saying work your way to heaven. What he's saying is the Spirit of God, because Ephesians 1, we're sealed with the Spirit of God at the moment of salvation. And Paul says allow the Spirit of God to work out His life in your life. That's what he's talking about. Maturing and growing. And you know what? Until you and I accept this very truth, that we're accepted in the Beloved. You see, it's based on your relationship with Christ. Not your fellowship with Christ. Your relationship. What is my relationship with Christ? If you're saved, where am I? I'm in Christ. I'm already seated in heavenly places. It doesn't matter when the devil comes and says, boy, you're pretty rotten. Well, I can't believe you did that. God can never forgive you. All those kind of things. Yeah, you're right. I can't. You know, I can never use me. And we start that whole feeling process. It doesn't matter. We say, devil, it doesn't matter what I feel. God said that I'm this. God said that I'm His child. God said that He gained victory over you. You see, we're complete in Him. There's no excuses why you and I can't have victory. The only excuse is because you choose not to. As I said last week, if you choose to hang on to that bondage or that thing, let me ask you, how's it going for you? Not very well. And the world looks at us, we ought to be so different than the world. We ought to have peace, we ought to have joy, we ought to be excited about serving God. Yet we walk around with our lip dragging. Woe is me. We are lost people that we see and work around and stuff. They see us like, you know. And really, what would a lost person want? What will we have? The lost people come through this door, they ought to see a difference in the child of God. They ought to say, you know what? I want whatever you have. But you know what? We're so wrapped up in our feelings because the truth will set you free. The truth will give us the victory. You see, we can be victorious because of what God has said and done already. God said, He said we're complete in Him. We can have victory. Doesn't matter what the devil says. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking about who we are in Christ. We're a new creation. We're accepted. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Verse 6, we read that. He raises up, sit in heavenly places already, the real you, the real me. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then He says in verse 10, we're talking about who we are in Christ. Paul says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 1 says we've been chosen before the foundation of the world. Now God doesn't pick and choose who can get saved because man has a free will. God offers salvation to anyone. Whosoever will. A person who rejects Jesus Christ is chosen to reject Him. Those who receive Him have chosen to receive Him. But you know what? God says, in an eternity past, I've already prepared. Even before we were born, God said, you know what? At the moment of salvation, because God knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows all things. But He never forces anyone to accept His Son. But God, because He's omniscient, He knows who will accept and who will reject. That's why I said Ephesians 1, He's chosen us before the foundations of the world. And God says, you know what? At a time and a place, we all have a time and a place of our salvation, whether you remember it or not, it's not that important. The fact that you did it. But you know what? At that moment, God says, you know what? It's a completed transaction. He says we are His workmanship. The word workmanship means to make or to do. And you know what? That's exactly what God's doing in our lives. God is in the process of conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. As I've said before, you can go easy or you can go the hard way. The fact being is God's going to accomplish the task. And I use that illustration. It's the child is rebellious in the store that the mother's dragging behind on the ground, kicking and screaming. You can go like that. God says, you know what? When you got saved, whatever time that was, I am complete in you and you are a work in progress. Everything in you is necessary in you to be victorious. And Philippians 1 verse 6 says, God will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And God says, you know what? I am going to do it. And just as you have to deal with your rebellious children sometimes, that's how we are in God's eyes. But you know what? You always prevail, don't you? Hopefully, if you're a good parent, you prevail and don't let the child. And you know what? God's a good parent. Read this manual and you know how to raise your children. Why? God has raised more children than anybody else. And God says, you know what? I'm going to start the work at the moment of salvation. And you know what? Like it or not, that process started. Kind of like getting on a ride. I remember when we took the youth at our other church up to Cedar Point. Rode the Magnum, I think. It's that real tall thing. How long did we waited in line? I don't know, a long time. And Shanda, you know, with the rest of them waiting. So we get into the car, boy, we sit down. Shanda steps in and steps out the other side. She says, I'm not getting on there. But you know what? Once you get in that thing and strapped in, you're in there for the ride. You're not going anywhere. And that's a big drop, 200 some feet. That is a big, big drop. But it's funny because she just stepped right through. She says, I'll see you at the exit. But you know what? Once you step in, once you get into that thing, and the shoulder harness comes down, you're there. You can holler, you can scream, you can put whatever, but you know what? Till the ride's over, it's over. And that's the way it is with salvation. God says, I'm going to work on you. You're a work in progress. And you can go easy or you can go hard, but God's going to accomplish His will in your life. I would much rather go easy. Doesn't say that your life's going to be a bowl of cherries. There's going to be trials and problems. All those are purposed to conform us to the image of Christ. We're just a big old rough mass of stone when God saves us. You know, just like the sculptor that makes that beautiful sculpture, when he's done, he just chips away. When he's done, you see a perfect image of whatever they're sculpting. And that's what God does with you and I. He said, let me knock this big old hunk of pride off. And here's how I'm going to do it. We're a work in progress. You see, either one of two things for a child of God. We're either growing or you're backsliding. You're not staying still. So ask yourself today, am I growing in the Lord? Am I taking the steps necessary? Am I yielding? Am I doing all that I need to do by yielding to God? Or are you backsliding? Because you're not just kind of standing still. And sadly today, too many Christians are going backwards. You know where you backslide? You know where you end up? In the world. World where you came out of, that God miraculously delivered us from and saved us from. We end up right back there. He says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, unto good works. That's what God has in mind, that we should walk in them. That's God's purpose. He says you're a work in progress. It's prepared by God. There's no one better could prepare our lives than God. You know something about God? He's got everything laid out. God's got a plan for every one of us. Got a plan. God knew that in eternity past. God knew when August 23rd, 1978, when my wife and I accepted Christ, God said, I had a plan in eternity past. And at the moment of that salvation, God says, now I can implement that plan. And of course, He's working the whole time getting us to that point. It's the same way with you and I. It's done the good works. We're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. We're not our own. That's the problem with Christians. We want fire insurance. We want salvation so we don't die and go to hell. But other than that, I'm going to run my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do. You'll never prevail against God. Because if you're truly God's child, He will chastise us, Hebrews chapter 12. And you'll be miserable. You'll be unhappy. Just like Apostle Paul says, you know what? He said in his 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I really believe Paul knew that he had done everything God had asked of him to do. I believe Paul had no regrets. Sadly, today, Christians will have a lot of regrets at the judgment seat of Christ. It's only until after the judgment seat of Christ are all tears wiped away. I believe there will be some sorrow at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll say, boy, I wish I would have done that. God says, why didn't you? I gave you every opportunity. You're complete in me. I'd have given you the power. I'd give you the strength. It was all there. We didn't do it because we maybe wanted to run our own life. You know, God's accepted us, and He's preparing us now for eternity. He's preparing us now. It's always good to, if you go somewhere and you don't know what's going on, you kind of feel out of place. Well, you know what? God's preparing us now. So we get to heaven, we'll feel right at home. We can't praise God down here, but there's praising God going on in heaven. See, He's preparing us. We need to use the gifts God's given us. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Vocation's a job. All of us have a job, hopefully. We do something. And our vocation as a child, when we got saved, our vocation is a child of God. You see, that's a high calling. Philippians 3, verse 14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a heavenly calling, this thing that God's called us to do. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And then Paul said it's a holy calling to be a child of God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purposes and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Where are we at now? We're already in heavenly places. God's given us everything. As I said earlier, there's no reason for you and I to be defeated. If you've walked in these doors defeated today, there's no reason why you have to walk out defeated. If you walked in these doors with bondage to something, it's the Word of God that sets you free. There's no reason why you have to walk out the same. If you do, you're just choosing to do that. We'll stop there, but we'll look at next week as some more things of who we are in Christ Jesus. Boy, I tell you, if you get a hold of that thing, it'll change everything. Where you're at, it'll change you. Because as Jesus said in John 8, it's the truth that sets us free. It's not my feelings. It's the truth. Let's pray.